Rise and shine, it's Saturday morning!
It's time for Saturday coffee. It's time for Saturday morning. It's time for Saturday morning. It'll always be Saturday morning. Right.
That's right. Grab your cereal and your favorite spot on the living room floor. Because for the next 10 minutes, here's what's on our TV.
Scooby Scooby Doo, looking for you. Scooby Scooby Doo, where are you? All the stars are here, waiting for you. Couldn't have a show without you. Scooby, Scooby Doo, Scooby.
That's right, anybody who doesn't know what that song is has definitely been living under some sort of animated rock, because very clearly we're discussing Scooby-Doo today on 10 Minute Tunes. And here with me once again is Scooby-Doo superfan,
codename Iron Lung.
And much like we did last Saturday with the legendary Looney Tunes, we're going to give you a rundown of the history and some of our favorite memories and moments from the last 50 years of Scooby-Doo.
Jinkies!
Of course, we pick Scooby-Doo because it's another foundational titan, both of animation and of the Saturday morning concept. It was created by Hanna-Barbera Studios, debuting on CBS as Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? On September 8th, 1969. That incarnation lasted until 1972, when it became the one-hour new Scooby-Doo movies, thus beginning the first of many iterations that are still ongoing to today. This is the classic format, which paired Scooby and the gang with various celebrity guest stars, including Batman and Robin, which was the inspiration for the Super Friends cartoon 1 year later. But as for the original show, Scooby's cast was patterned after the Archie characters and pitched as a much scarier and more serious horror cartoon called Who's Scared? Scooby was originally intended to be a minor background character, but this version was rejected as too scary. So it was remodeled after the characters in the film The Many Loves of Dobie Gillis and reworked to focus more on the comedy aspect. And the rest is animation history. The very first of anything Scooby-Doo related that I ever saw was probably the new Scooby-Doo movies. I think it was The Addams Family. But no, you know what it was? It was fucking Scooby-Doo meets Jonathan Winters. That's what it was.
What? Yeah. I guess I don't remember that one.
Yep.
I remember the Batman. I definitely remember Batman. I remember Harlem Globetrotters. I remember all those ones, but I don't remember Jonathan Winters. He did meet some really... Didn't he do Sonny and Cher?
Sonny and Cher.
Yeah, I remember that when I was little. Those are probably the first ones I saw as well.
Phyllis Diller was on one of them.
So dope. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
It was such a cool show. They inspired a couple pretty good ripoffs too. The Clue Club, that was a good one. The Amazing Chan Clan. There was a Butch Cassidy cartoon that was pretty similar where they were solving clues, but the one that was really spot on was Goober and the Ghost Chasers.
Yeah.
Exactly like it, except for the dog, I think, was a ghost and like could have ghost powers or something. I remember him like glowing or something. I watched just a few cartoons. It's pretty bizarre.
Zoinks! Scooby's original name was going to be Too Much, but the term Scooby-Dooby-Doo was preferred by one of the executives at the time as a take on Dooby-Dooby-Doo from the Frank Sinatra song Strangers in the Night. Scooby's personality and voice characteristics were entirely created by Don Messick, who did Scooby's voice from 1969 all the way to 96. A lot of his Scooby performance, though, borrowed heavily from another famous cartoon dog he voiced, Astro from the Jetsons. Scooby-Doo was shown on CBS until 1976, and then it moved to ABC and started getting paired with a different cartoon each season for the rest of the 70s. The dawn of the 80s saw Scooby's ratings slip, and ABC's solution for this was the introduction of the infamous Scrappy-Doo character.
Boo!
Yeah, Scrappy-Doo is...
Scrappy-Dabby-Doo!
Not well-liked.
Fuck Scrappy-Doo.
Exactly.
You can go sit on the bench.
Somehow, bench though... Him. Oh, for the uninitiated, Scrappy-Doo is Scooby's young nephew. And somehow that strategy actually paid off for a little while. And it worked so well, in fact, that the show was entirely reworked again, and all cast members were dropped, except Scooby, Scrappy, and Shaggy. The villains were also changed at that time from the traditional humans and monster costumes to actual monsters. Daphne returned 2 years later when the 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo debuted in 1985. Also added at that point were a young boy named Flim Flam, and Vincent Price joining the cast as a creatively named character, Vincent Van Gool, who acted as a mentor for the gang.
Perfect. Perfect name.
The next major change came in 1988 when ABC decided to compete even harder for ratings against shows like The Muppet Babies and turn the whole cast into children with the excellent A Pup Named Scooby-Doo.
Yo!
Ironically enough, after the first season, the creative team behind this version of Scooby-Doo left to create Tiny Toon Adventures for Warner Brothers. A Pup Named Scooby-Doo lasted until 1991, which was the same year that Ted Turner bought Hanna-Barbera. So for the rest of the 90s, Scooby-Doo was exclusively shown on Turner-owned networks, including TBS, TNT, Cartoon Network, and Boomerang. In 1998, the production of a yearly direct-to-video Scooby movie began a tradition that continues to this day. Over the course of 50 years, the various Scooby-Doo incarnations have only received 2 Emmy nominations, but no wins.
Well, that's not cool.
It's really hard to believe, too. One of them was for A Pup Named Scooby-Doo, and one of them was for a much newer version of the show called What's New, Scooby-Doo, in 2003. Famous astronomer Carl Sagan once said that it would be a great public service if there were an adult version of a show as skeptical as Scooby-Doo. So perhaps shows like The X-Files can be directly traced back to the influence of the Mystery Incorporated gang. Well, now that we're caught up on the history of the Scooby story, let's really go back and look at all the different incarnations that Scooby-Doo had throughout the years.
It looks like Scooby-Doo starred in 13 different TV titles. First would be Scooby-Doo, Where Are You?, the new Scooby-Doo movies, the Scooby-Doo Dynama Hour, Scooby-Doo and Scrappy-Doo, the Richie Rich Scooby-Doo Show, the Scooby-Doo Scrappy-Doo Puppy Hour, the new Scooby-Doo and Scrappy-Doo Show, the new Scooby-Doo Mysteries, 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo, A Pup Named Scooby-Doo, What's New Scooby-Doo, Shaggy and Scooby Get a Clue, Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated, Be Cool Scooby-Doo. So they're all pretty similar title-wise.
Yeah, they've all got to have like something in there usually that rhymes with do. What got you back into Scooby-Doo, or were you consistent from childhood?
I guess I got back into Scooby-Doo more when the movies came out, the weird live-action movies.
Oh yeah.
I was like, well, maybe. So I gave the first one a shot, and that's a big negative. And then like the obvious smoking connection between Scooby and fellow friends of the green.
Right.
That's always really cool, and I thought that was pretty funny. And if you watch a lot of the old episodes, you could definitely see why.
Yeah, I looked into that, and I mean that element of it became such an accepted thing that they even sort of referenced it in the movies. But the original writers, Ruby and Spears, who created Scooby-Doo, were like adamant that that was never anything in their mind, and had no reason to be associated with that. But
because the kids show, you can't straight up be like, oh yeah, yes, Shaggy is definitely a stoner.
Right.
You know, he's got the munchies all the time. Like, his eyes are always sunk down. He's paranoid. Everybody else is usually pretty cool. Him and the dog are running around freaked out all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's definitely baked.
I heard an interesting theory recently about why Scooby-Doo can talk, and they never really address it in the show.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, obviously, since it's a cartoon, you don't really look too deep into it. You just kind of accept it. But the theory that I saw says something along the lines of, 1969 was the same year that we sent a man to the moon. And leading up to that, there had been a lot of experimentation with sending animals into space in different countries. Scooby-Doo is a Great Dane, which is a German breed. And all the rocket scientists that we had, Wernher von Braun, who led the original NASA program, he was a Nazi scientist from Germany. So they suggest that perhaps Scooby is one of the original experimented space dogs.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Overall, what do you think your favorite incarnation of Scooby-Doo is?
Man, I mean, the first ones are awesome, but I'm hooked on A Pup Named Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Too cool. It's everything about it. They live in Coolsville. I mean, that just tells you right there. If you didn't watch that when you were younger, you weren't cool. Sorry.
Well, it takes you obviously need the regular version of Scooby-Doo to make this show work, but, you know, it takes everything great about that.
Makes it better.
And it changes it in ways that are simultaneously appealing to little kids and a little more sophisticated humor for adults. They do, you know, subtle jokes like the kid, the neighborhood villain kid.
Oh, the bully with the red hair. Yeah.
His name is Red Herring.
That's right.
And
yes.
He's always the fake out choice
for
the villain.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that is pretty clever too. I did forget about that. He always had like a vest and like a badass looking kid. Yeah, he was. I actually thought he was cool. Like you said, he never actually did anything.
No.
Fred would always be up in his shit.
Yep.
But he never actually did anything.
He was literally the red herring every episode.
See, Fred's a prick in every incarnation. He just is.
Yeah.
And then Scooby's doghouse.
Yeah, insane.
That's what. Oh, dude, I'll never forget Scooby's doghouse. It's like a gigantic mansion with everything in it. It was like the Batcave.
Yep.
It just always had whatever you needed, no matter what. That show was awesome.
Yeah, it was really good. Well, that's all the time we have this week. We'll see you next Saturday on another installment of 10 Minute Tunes.
Thanks for listening.
Hey, girl, you got me running. Na, 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 na. My heart is lost and my mind's gone.